evening again. This is Elaine Ireland, and we're trying very hard tonight to go global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. We're having a little bit of trouble with connections, but just hang in there with us, please. Dr. Thomas Nolan is with us this evening. He is called the Holistic Warrior. Good evening, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A little tired, but very well.
Yeah, you're coming back from a three-day trek?
Yes.
Yeah. Thomas does a lot of traveling. Let me tell you a little bit about Thomas, and then because he won't always toot his own horn, so I'll toot his horn for him. He has a PhD in ecological psychology, an MS in chemistry, a trainer certification in behavioral modification. He's also studied several schools, including the Rosicrucians, which I have a soft spot in my heart for, the School of Metaphysics, and you'll have to pronounce this one for me, G-U-R-D.
Georgiefian Movement.
What is that?
Okay, Georgiev was a Greek Armenian philosopher that, when he was young, set off to find this brotherhood that was sort of a mystical brotherhood. He did find it over a period of time, and in fact, there's a movie out that tells the story of his life and a book called On Meeting Remarkable Men. Mm-hmm. And he came back and formed his own group. In fact, Uspensky is one of his main students, most famous students. He sought to establish the idea that life is like driving a carriage in those days instead of a car. And what you wanted to decide was who was driving the carriage. And then he talked about the I, and that we all have an I. And it's in fact, we have multiple eyes, as it turns out. And what we wanted to do is to integrate those eyes into one. And so life is about that, growth is about that, the integration of all these eyes into one so we can be one, so we can operate as such. That's sort of a nutshell.
That's a good nutshell.
Yes, he has. Quite a few. It's a lot of things I could talk about, but let's see. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Tonight you had wanted to talk a little bit about the connecting keys, or connecting the key to obtaining and maintaining a balanced life. And it sounds like this particular person searched to do that.
Yes. Yes.
As well.
To me, everything is about connecting. No matter whether I'm teaching a class or giving readings or what. The main idea to me is to be able to connect with oneself, connect with the creator, and then connect with everybody else. And in the process, that allows us to have the most balanced life at any given time, grow, process, etc.
Are you writing a book about this?
I have written a book about it, and I have mixed feelings about books and writing things. And I haven't resolved that. And
what is your quandary?
I'm trying to put that into words, and that might be kind of difficult.
But it's
more like this.
Go ahead.
I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and a friend I've been working with for some time, and she was showing me a movie. I won't say what the movie is. The Moses Code, actually. And it's a good movie. And what I realized in watching that is it's a great story, great ideas, but what we do is we read books, we look at movies, we look at these things, and the more we look, the more we seek, instead of doing. And I think that's what Georgiev was about, is doing. It's what Eckhart Tolle is about, doing. And what I said to my friend is, treat yourself as a client. You talk to other people. And I use myself as an example of treating myself as a client. And what would I tell myself based on where I am right now? And so I'll ask myself, like I do in my readings, I ask people, before I start, give me a one or two word phrase that describes your life right now. So I ask myself, give me a one or two word phrase that describes your life right now. And the word that came up was doubt. And as I process that, it's like saying, I know how to get out of doubt. I talk about it all the time. So instead of trying to read about it more, instead of trying to go to these other sources more, it's already inside of me. And since I know that, then I need to be able to go inside, in order to find the answers. So books are good, but books are crutches. And I might say, I've got a library that's has seven 8.5 by 4 8 by 4 bookcases of books, double stack. And I've read them all. Enough reading. Do. I know how to be in that place. I know how to get there. It's just remembering to go there, and that's what I seek to do right now.
Oh, I think
so. That's what I tell people.
I think you just said a very important thing. We need to remember to go there.
Yes.
Because as metaphysicians, we're so busy, I think, giving other people keys, we forget to sometimes give ourselves keys.
Yes.
We get so caught up in our own lives.
Yes. And it's easy to do that. And that's one of the things I talk about is remembering, and as soon as you can recognize, the distinction I make is being in your head versus being in your heart. Being in your head is the source of all the programming that keeps us in drama and all that stuff. But once we go to our heart, all that stuff disappears. So as soon as we can remember that we've been anchored or triggered by something, it's going back to the heart. And that's the main idea I've been talking about of late.
Is going back to the heart the same thing as touching base with spirit to you or soul?
The heart is the source of spirit to me.
Okay.
It's not indistinguishable, I think.
Okay.
They're one and the same. But it's like, to me, the heart is a way you can easily get there.
People feel comfortable with that word heart, too. I think sometimes more so than the word spirit or soul.
Yes.
And they trust the word heart, I think.
Well, I think the other thing is the heart is evidence that you are there. When you can go to that feeling in your heart, and that's one of the first things I show people in my readings, is how to immediately get to the heart. And then once you get to the heart, I show them the source of that feeling, which is the light. And once you can see that the light is already inside of you, you recognize you don't have to be saved. You're already saved. You recognize you don't have to save anybody else because they already have the light. And then you don't have to waste your time trying to save people, trying to do things when you can be on your own path and be the example of where you can be.
I wish everyone had the confidence to do that for themselves. That takes confidence and it takes trust. It takes trust in oneself and one's abilities and the methodologies.
Oh, I agree. However, let's just say, if I've set a goal to help people to wake up, then the first thing I recognize is I don't have to help everybody.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Okay. Secondly, everybody is already there, whether they know it or not. And if they're already there, then I don't have to do anything. I can be of assistance. I can help. It's a matter of them reaching that point where they can recognize they're already there. And whether it takes 1 second or 10,000 years, it doesn't make any difference. Whether it takes one lifetime or 10 lifetimes, it doesn't make any difference because it's part of their path. And if I interfere with that, I'm messing them up and myself up at the same time.
But if someone comes to you for a reading, let me see how I can put this. If someone comes to you for a reading or a consult,
yes,
whatever you want to call it,
yes,
don't you think that they've been sent there by some
system? Oh, okay. Here's the difference.
How would you interfere?
No. That's a different story.
Okay.
In helping to me, if somebody asks me for help, then I've got permission to do something. I've got permission to help them to wake up as I can understand, because they have reached a certain point to where perhaps I can do something or not do something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, now, on the other hand, let's say I want to help somebody and I really feel I can. I just won't do that willy-nilly. What I'll do is ask them, may I help you? May I show you something? If they say yes, I'll do what I can do. If they say no, I hesitate, I leave it alone. Once somebody asks me, well, suppose they're unconscious, you want to do something, then I go inside and contact my guides to contact their guides and get permission that way. I trust that process.
Good explanation. While we are catching our breath here, let me give out two phone numbers. Worldwide, that means anything, any place other than the United States or Canada. Worldwide, 877-489-6350. Please call in on that number. If you live in the United States or Canada, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. This is an uninterrupted hour. We are with Dr. Thomas Nolan this evening. He is also known as the Holistic Warrior, which I love that. We invite your phone calls. We invite your conversation as well as your questions of this most learned man. I've known Thomas for many, many years and have the highest of respect for his work. I've had the privilege of having only one reading in all of those years, but it certainly helped me at the time and gave me some keys, if you want to call it that. Brought up some issues that I didn't even know I had, which was wonderful. Is it true, Thomas, that you really don't want to read for anyone or consult with anyone, let's say, in a cipher setting any more than once? You feel like you've...
Well, it's not necessarily more than once. I don't want to be a crutch. I don't want to be a guru. I don't want to be, a savior. I don't mind helping people, but I don't want to be dependence. And one of the things I say in my flyers, I don't want to create a codependence with someone.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I want to help them to reach those points. Then they can go out and practice. Then they can go out and try these things. Then at some point in time, I can help them again. So I don't mind. I have students, for that matter, and I've had students. And it may be anywhere from one time to several years. Not.
I like what you say about the holistic. How does the holistic warrior help me? Designed to help you identify patterns of sabotage.
Yes.
Demonstrate methods that will help you resolve these problems. Build
yes.
connections with yourself, God, and others.
Yes.
As a result, you'll be able to create a life that is self-sufficient, not codependent, and develop spiritually. I like the idea of identifying patterns of sabotage with your work.
Yes.
I don't think enough readers do that, or maybe that's not their place to do that, because a lot of us do not have the educational background that you have. You're suited to do that, and I'm just delighted that you put that out there, because I think we do sabotage ourselves.
Okay. Repeat. Think of it, there are several ways. If that quote that says, all roads lead to Rome is correct, then there's all roads to consciousness and various stages along that road. So some people may be, if I use this analogy, may be in kindergarten in the first grade in grammar school. Some people may be in junior high. Some people may be in college. Some people may be in graduate school. Some people may be in postgraduate or beyond. So it's a matter of, when you reach a certain point, a teacher will appear that can help you. So I try not to judge as much as I can where people are and what they're doing, because they're where they are, they're there. And it's not a matter of being right or wrong, good or bad. That's where they are. So there are people available to help each person wherever they are. So I've chosen to help people who want to wake up, or who are trying to wake up, or who have awakened. And it's closer to where I am, you might say. And therefore, I'm not interested in doing just, will my boyfriend be there tomorrow? Will I get married? Because if you ask me that, I'm going to tell you, why not program it? Why not ask for it? And it says, asking you shall receive, and I give people methods for doing that. So I want to empower people to help themselves. Now, for those people who are not able to do that, there are people out there for them. Do you understand?
Oh, yeah.
And so since there are people out there for them, then I don't have to do that necessarily. I can, but I don't have to do that. So another way. When I was a chemist, and I was an applied research chemist, I was my degree is in physical inorganic chemistry. It's theoretical chemistry. And when I was a chemist, I worked in the oil field for Dow Wells. It's no longer around now, but it was an oil service company. And I did applied research for oil field related problems. So within chemistry then, there's a whole wide range of chemists and what people can do, depending on what the goal is, what the objective is, what path they want to lead, where they want to go. And, you know, when I first got into chemistry, I thought it was just chemistry. I didn't know it had all those different things. And so it's an opportunity for people to grow then based on where they are, based on what their direction is, you know, what they came here to learn. That's about the best way to put it. Because I believe this is like a classroom that we live in here, and we all come to learn here.
I like the idea of Earth being a classroom. One of many, I think, we enjoy while
yes.
we breathe as well.
Yes, yes.
Yes, this is Elaine Ireland going global for spirit with Dr. Thomas Nolan tonight, the Holistic Warrior. Tell me more about connecting keys to obtaining and maintaining a balanced life.
Okay.
Is the book that you've written...
Well, the book that I've written really is for my grandkids.
So it's not going to be available for...
It may be or might not be. It just depends on where I go with it. But I wrote the book so that my grandkids could see how I became the way I am. So that they... my grandkids have a wide range of people to choose from as examples. From state agency director to college professor to government worker to college dean to a whole lot of different things. Okay, so I've gone a path that's seemingly different from all of that, in that I did go science first and become an engineer and a chemist. But I later decided to leave that, and I got in this area of metaphysical, of a spiritual journey. So I wanted them to understand how I came to, on this path, what led up to that, how I made that transition over a 5-year period I call my wilderness years, and then after that, how I patterned my life, and in seeking that spiritual awakening, or awareness, or however you want to call that. And so I started off by writing concept papers, some of which I published in newspapers and so forth. Like one was, why was I born black? Why did I choose to be born black? The Emperor's New Clothes, which was all little vignettes to describe current events or how I feel about things. And so I started putting those together almost like my own readings, my own papers, editing my own papers. I was a keynote speaker for one of my high school reunions. That's a national reunion now that's held all over the United States, every 2 years all over the United States. And so I published that. So all of these lead up to describing my journey to be where I am now. Some of it is autobiographical. Some of it is like I have a session called The Voice. At several times in my life, the voice has come out of me, and I tell you, it did things that I did not say. It's like it selected my wife, you know, and proposed to my wife, and I didn't do that, you know. I think before I do things. And here, you know, I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden this voice says, you know, if you're available in 6 months, will you marry me? And it's like, oh. And now I'm 27 and a half years of marriage, and I'm blessed. I can tell you this. I am truly blessed. So it's like, so that description of the voice, that when I'm driving and I put my attention on the road to take care of me in the car, the voice appears. When I teach, when I read, the voice comes out of me to one degree or another. So it's that part of me that knows. So I call it the voice. And I think everybody has a voice inside of them, perhaps even multiple voices. Now, I'm not talking about the voice that you say, that's my mother talking, or that's my daddy talking. I'm talking about the voice from the soul, the voice from God, that voice from the inner part of us. So the book is partly autobiographical. It's my experiential journey to get where I am now. And that's what I'm on my camera.
I hope you share it with the public at some point in time.
Perhaps we'll. We'll see what happens. It's like, I guess when spirit is ready for me to do it, I'll do it.
The voice won't leave you alone.
Yeah, right. It won't leave me alone. And right now, it's not concerned with it.
Well, you're not through writing.
Oh no, I get ideas all the time, and it's, but I have to be in this certain space, in that certain vibration. That's one of the biggest things. And because of health problems, I was diagnosed with prostate problems about 7 years ago. And I'm clear now, and I've been in point one for the last 6 years. And I did a four-phase program that helped me to get through all that. But some of the things I went through affected my vibrations. And so sometimes it's hard to get to that space when I'm by myself. When I'm teaching, when I'm reading, it's easy. But when I'm by myself, that's one of the things that I work on.
That's interesting that it affected you that way. I hear just the opposite so many times, and you probably do too from clients, where they go through something traumatic and it brings everything out much easier, or they see things on a different level.
Well, it's the chemicals. Like right now, I've chosen not to take any more pharmaceuticals again. Again, that's redundant, but I've decided not to take pharmaceutical chemicals again, because when I went through that, I did the radioactive C treatment, and which means I had to take hormones, and that is what it's taken probably 5 or 6 years to get completely out of my system, and that affects your vibration. And so now, and it's part of the challenge, I think. It's like we all, I challenged a guy a long time ago about, he was a great teacher, and he still smoked. And I asked him, why did he smoke? He said, that's my, what do you call it? That's my problem. What's yours?
Habit.
Yeah, that's my habit. What's yours? Yeah. Yes. So I take that to heart. So we all have difficulties to overcome. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, I don't think.
Mine seems to be food.
Yes, I understand. Mine is chocolate, too. Don't even go there. My name is Thomas Nolan. I have a chocolate problem.
I wish mine was just chocolate. You know, what is the old joke about, I'm on a seafood diet, I see things.
Yeah, seafood, yes.
that way.
Yes.
But anyway, this is Elaine Ireland going global for Spirit. Those two phone numbers are worldwide, 877-489-6350. United States and Canada, you share a number, 1-888-228-4494. This is Dr. Thomas Nolan. Thomas also reads the tarot cards. He does the I Ching. I'm not seeing you do the I Ching very much at the fairs.
Well, I do. It's just a matter of people asking for it. And you might say I go through various stages of things that I use. And I like to think that, again, I'm led to do one thing or the other. So I just allow that to be, if that makes sense to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's just I allow it to be, then I don't necessarily, you know, if that's what they ask for, they don't, I'll go from there. And then I think a lot of people don't really know about the I Ching. Now, they'll ask about it. So I think a lot of people come to fairs, for instance, are more familiar with the standard things that people use. So that's what they ask for.
Maybe you need to do some lectures on the I Ching.
Yeah, I might do that, yeah. And again, you know, I had gotten off of lectures for a while. And so I'm beginning to, I guess it's like, sometimes I think spirit puts you in, say this right, you become sequestered, and which means you're in a cocoon, and in a cocoon, transformation is occurring. So when you break out, then you break out with new ideas. And I think I've been in one for a couple of years now, and I'm breaking out. So I may do that.
That would be good. I would go.
Yeah.
I would schedule myself out and go to it.
And sometimes I do my best workshops when I'm asked at the last moment.
Hurry, quick, get it together.
I don't have to do that. I just go in and start doing it. And like I find that when I do things spontaneously like that, spirit takes over and it just happens.
That voice comes out.
Yes, yes. It's when you try to plan for the voice, that's when you might have trouble.
get so busy doing the flyers. Half the time when I put things together like that, I get up there and something totally different comes out anyway.
Yes, yes.
So
now, I always start off with a plan. I know some people may think that I'm not very organized. However, because when I'm in class, I fly by the seat of my pants. But beforehand, I spend a lot of time planning what I'm going to do. Because I find that it is very hard to be spontaneous and stay on track when you don't plan. But when you plan, you have the basis for staying on track, because you have things organized already, and it's much easier to be in a flow. So it's like it supports things rather than hinder things.
If you could do anything metaphysical that you're not doing now, what would it be? What would be your new love?
I don't know if I would do anything different. I say to people, I live for what I do. The only thing that might be different is I would reach a wider audience and a bigger stage. And whenever that comes, that comes. But I love reading. I love teaching. For instance, during the month of February primarily, I was trying to catch the flu. And, it was horrible. But it was a battle because it would almost get it, but I was able to hold it off. And when I taught my first class in February, in March, halfway through the class, I was healed, and it hadn't come back. So it's that feeling of connectedness that when I get in that connectedness feel, it's like everything is right. So I understand that I live for that feeling. And as long as I have that, the world is cool.
Is there anybody else in your family that does this, or you?
Not that I know of. No, that's not right. I have a sister in Dallas who doesn't read necessarily, but she's on the same track as I am. She's my middle sister. I'm the oldest, and we do the same things. But she works primarily with people on the levels who don't know yet. Whereas I work with people on the level who are trying to wake up. But as far as readings are concerned, I'm probably the only one that does that.
How did you get from science to metaphysics? What, was there something that happened, or do you think you were always wired that way and you finally realized it?
As I understand it now, looking back on things, I've been metaphysical all my life. I just didn't know it. And, however, I finished high school in 1957 in Little Rock, just before integration. And the thing that was big then was science. And I think I had to learn how the world operates, methodologically speaking, to get a balance. And later on, when I worked on my PhD, I worked to get a balance between left brain and right brain. And that's what, so I needed the scientific stuff in order to balance the intuitive stuff. Because much of what I did in chemistry was really based on my intuition more than the science itself.
Thank you.
Which is weird, I know, but
that's
the way it happened.
Because I'm hearing doctors say, and nurses say, talk about their feelings. I had a feeling I needed to do this. There was a doctor on television, a research gentleman. He was saying that he never, under normal circumstances, he would never have looked at these two fluids as though they would complement each other. But something encouraged him to put them together, and voila.
Well, that happens to everybody. I mean, scientists are always talking about the eureka experience, except that it's not recognized as a intuitive thing. Intuition in science is not looked upon as anything that's worth doing, pursuing. But I think I understood from within that that's what I needed to create a balance. So even in my dissertation, I first worked on getting a, by combining the biomedical model with the holistic health model. Because when I first found out about holistic health, they were talking about it was a right brain thing. And I couldn't see a hole being a half. So I combined those two models into one, and that's become the basis of how I do readings and run my whole life. So that became the basis of my philosophy. So most of what I've done has been about working to create this balance between the outer and the inner, the head and the heart, all these dichotomies, because when you look at it, there's the one, the unified one, which is the creator spirit, God. Out of one comes that which is based on love and that which is based on fear. Out of fear, because of the experiential stuff, and because as you have experiences in fear, you have experiences in love, and as they interact with each other, it creates experience, and that's three. All that from the Tao. First, there's the one, and then there's the two, and from the three comes a myriad of things.
You just said something very important that I don't want to let slide. It comes from the Tao, spelled T-O-A.
Yes, the Tao, yes.
Yeah, and it's more and more people are reading various versions, but the most popular these days seems to be the book by Wayne Dyer that Change Your Mind, Change Your Life, I think, based on the Tao. On the left side of the page is the verse itself, and then a page or two of essay or explanation. So for those of you out there that are interested in the Tao, that's a good place to go. There are many books, many interpretations or explanations of the Tao if you would like to read more than one. And even Wayne Dyer refers to others in his essays.
Yeah.
So.
Well, actually, I am part of the holistic warrior comes from the idea of the samurai warrior. I'm really connected with them and from the Chinese warriors. And there's a guy named Wilhelm, a German, I think, who first translated the Tao, and his book is like the seminal book that people have gone to for years.
And
it's been popularized by Dyer's book, but before
yes.
then, it was mostly Wilhelm, and most people who study the Tao use that book as the Bible of it, so to speak. And it has the translations, the interpretations, and the problem with the Tao is that it was written for Chinese people, which people need to understand. And therefore, it has different type of imagery than we used to seeing. And so it's hard for some people to understand because they don't know how to translate it. So for me, how I've dealt with it is to show that you get the imagery. So say something like, the great fox crosses the wide stream. His tail gets immersed, error. And you say, what? Well, if you look at the imagery, so I ask people then, how does a fox use his tail? So I ask you, how does a fox use his tail?
In the water?
And no, just period.
How does it, I would...
How does a fox use his tail?
I've never watched a fox run, but I would think for balance.
Yes, for balance.
Yeah.
So when you cross a great stream, and the great stream is a metaphor then for a problem or barrier, and you are out of balance because your tail gets immersed, you're not going to do it.
Oh,
does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense to me. That's why I'm laughing. Because it's obvious, but yet it's so hidden.
Yes. But see, it's hidden because for Chinese people, they grew up with that. So they hear that imagery all the time, like we hear our own imagery all the time. So therefore, it's obvious to us about things because it's more closely aligned with what we also already understand. So... Now, what I also like about the Tao is that since it is like that, then it's harder to get it mixed up with other stuff. Which means, and I think that's why people like it, because it's much more true for the person, because it's harder to put your own stuff into it.
I'm reading the Wayne Dyer book right now, and I find it to be, I call it absolute. You're right, there's not a lot of room for... There's a little wiggle room, so to speak, for interpretation, but not a lot. It is what it is,
mm-hmm.
which I'm enjoying.
Yes.
And I'm not going to stop with his book. I intend to get older versions, like the Wilhelm,
yes.
and read others as well.
Well, Wayne Dyer, I studied a long time ago and have gone to some of his workshops when he came to Oklahoma City. And right now, for myself, I really, and I got this from Stuart Weil a long time ago, because I asked Stuart Weil to be a teacher, my teacher, and he refused. And I understand why now, because I needed to find out for myself. So in my early days, Carlos Castaneda's books, I had a whole, especially all of his books, I read religiously. And of several other books, I just poured through, and read and reread. And I have the basis of that information within now, because when I read something, it goes into my processor, and anywhere from a second to 3 months, it comes out uniquely mine, with my own understanding of it. So I have enough information now that I can... Things can trigger, you know, I can always be triggered by things to get a better understanding. But as I said before, it's like I really work on, well, like a friend of mine that I talk to a lot in Colorado, I really work on doing things myself.
Do you dream interpretations, but for yourself, do you work a lot with your dreams?
I used to work quite a bit with dreams. You know, what happens is you go through life and you get this idea, then another idea comes on, then all of a sudden it comes back and you said, oh, I forgot all about that. It's like cycles that one goes through. And at one time I used it in the very early days. Oh, my gosh, I used it every day. And I sort of got away from it. Although of late, in the past 3 months, I've been having these crazy dreams, you know. And so I listen to them. I don't write them down, but I pay attention to them. And really what I try to do is go inside the dream and deal with it right there. It's a sort of a lucid dreaming type.
That is so hard for most people to do that, to go into that, to go into the dream like that. First of all, to realize they're dreaming.
Yes. Let's see. Lucid Dreaming by, I'm trying to think the author's name. It's an older book published in the 90s, in the 80s rather. It's a book on lucid dreaming. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. And it doesn't come to her yet. Carlos Castaneda's latter book talks about dreaming. And what Carlos talked about was looking for your hands inside the dream. It's remembering to look for your hands. And then once you can see your hands and stabilize that, then go into other places. And every time you lose the focus, you go back to your hands. However, let's say, that's perhaps a danger in this. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And for a lot of people, you might go some places where you don't know where the heck you are. Let me give you an example. John Lilly wrote Center of the Cyclone, in which he took LSD and stuff. But what he talked about is there are several states above in consciousness, but also several states below. And when you take drugs, you can be transported to a place that's high, that's so good you don't want to come back. Or you can be transported to a place that's so bad you're too scared to move. But also, with some people, in dreams you can fly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In real life, I'm not so sure about that. I'm not saying you can't, but I'm not so sure about that. But what happens to a lot of people when they get to certain states, if they aren't able to know what state they're in, that's why a lot of folks kill themselves, because they thought they could fly without understanding they were not in the right body to do that. So with dreams, there's what I'm trying to point out here, but using these analogies, that there are dangers in doing certain things without help, without the consciousness to work with it. So it is a gradual process that if you don't have some reference to go by, it might be difficult at best.
And scary.
I didn't want to use that.
I'll use it for you because
okay.
I've been there, so I can share that. It can be a scary place. He's right about being afraid to move because you know you're someplace you shouldn't be, but you don't know where you are. And it can be a scary place.
Well, you might think, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Go ahead, you might think what?
You might think about if you were transported all of a sudden right now to the middle of the Sahara Desert, or in the middle of the Amazon jungle, or even the middle of a forest here in the United States. And you can be, like in Pennsylvania, it's so thick, you can be, you know, a half a block or a quarter of a block or maybe closer to the road and not know it because it's so thick. So it's like it paralyzes you unless you know how to trust your heart. And I think that's the key for me. I believe that since I know how to trust my heart, then no matter, I was in a state last Tuesday, a week ago, that was really, I understood why people do some of the things that they do. And because it was so bad, however, I knew I could get out of it. I knew what out of it meant. And when I finally sat in one of my laser board chairs, and just let go, all of a sudden I was out of it. So there has to be a certain level of trust and knowing that you can do certain things. If you don't have that level of trust and knowing, there are certain things I would not recommend people do.
What would be your first suggestion for someone who is just starting out, just realizing that they maybe have a curiosity, they know there's more than what they've been taught so far?
Oh, wow.
To start.
Okay.
A book, a method.
Okay, okay. I have on my, okay, I have a Holistic Warriors notebook. And in that notebook, it has a list of books, cassettes, tapes, things to read. So what comes to mind right now might be Celestine Prophecy. Mm-hmm. It might be Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. It might be any number of Wayne Dyer's earlier tapes. It might be Caroline Mace's Energy Anatomy. Without knowing the person and getting the feel for them, I just couldn't say specifically, because I think just like some people go into like chemistry, some people go into math, some people go into English, some people go into lit, some people go into sports. There has to be some knowledge, some self, you know, some way of understanding where the person is.
That's important, what you just said.
Yes.
About where they're coming from and what
yes.
purpose they have, what
yes.
direction they're taking.
Right, right.
Very important.
So in my book list, I have about, at any given time, I have about, 10 to 12 books that I ask people to choose from. So I don't recommend a book. I just ask them to choose from those set of books. And then they can, and then I'm there available to discuss the books with them as they read them or after they read them.
Is this list on your website, theholisticwarrior.com?
You know, I don't remember. Let's see if I can get to my website. I think the manual is, so it possibly is there.
Okay.
While we're talking, I'll go there and see if I can find it.
The name of the website is The Holistic Warrior. Holistic spelled H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, warrior.com. Thomas, the number that is on Thomas's flyer is area code 405-360-1700, or you can reach him at email Thomas, T-H-O-M-A-S, and the number 3, thomas3@aol.com. TheHolisticWarrior.com. He's looking on the site right now.
My computer is being very slow right now for some reason.
While it's coming up, that worldwide number, and we have just a few minutes left, folks, so you have room for maybe one or two questions or comments, 877-489-6350, or Canada and the United States, 1-888-228-4494. Thomas Nolan. Dr. Thomas Nolan has been our guest tonight on Elaine Ireland's Going Global for Spirit on bbsradio.com. Next week we're going to have Belinda Mendoza. She's feng shui. She's out of the Central Texas area. We're going to be talking about design for energy and how she's managed to mix metaphysics and spirituality and interesting lady. Okay, Thomas, is it up yet?
No, it's not. But I tell you what, I will go and look. If it's not on there, I'll put it on there this weekend. For some reason, I'm not connecting. So I'm not supposed to do it right now. But what I'll do is I'll check it out, and if it's not there, I'll put it up there.
Okay.
Or they can email me, and I will consider sending them the book list.
Okay, Thomas3@AOL.com is direct email, theholisticwarrior.com. Phone number 405-360-1700. Thomas does readings and seminars and hypnotherapy. That's something we haven't touched on tonight. Classes, individual programs that are designed to help you to develop your own pathway, or as Campbell says, find your bliss.
Yes.
Okay, so we didn't talk about hypnotherapy. What kind of hypnotherapy are you?
Well, mine is right now based on mostly NLP techniques.
Okay.
And actually, it's my own modified version of, in which I call energy balancing, that I can take people to any space and time, past, present, or future. And that's what I use as a way of getting to them to whatever place they want to get to. And then Ted James developed something called, in NLP, called timeline therapy, and I use a version of that where we determine where the block, where the habit, where the pattern started at some space and time when they were early age, if it's in this life. And then once we deal with that, then we bring the person forward to clear all the things that are associated with that so that they have a repaired road, as it were, a new road that will allow them to act in a way that's much more in their interest. Because for most people are programmed to act in somebody else's interest other than theirs. And what I attempt to help people to do is to act in their own interest.
That's an old habit for a lot of people to break.
Yes. Well, I think everybody has it because it's part of Mother Culture's programming that everybody goes through.
Wow. And it's amazing how we don't realize it. We think we're independent thinkers, we're doing our own thing, and
If you're asleep, how do you know?
Yeah.
And how do you know if you're asleep? It's like many times, so when I first found out about metaphysics, I was like 37. And it was like, where was I doing all this time? It's been around for 3,000 more years? I mean, wow. Where was I?
And see, I read the tarot cards growing up, but I didn't connect tarot cards and metaphysics until I was in my 20s. And yet we had spirits around the house all the time. My grandma talked to people that weren't there, you know, but I didn't connect it until I started doing my own reading the cards, and I wanted to talk to you about the tarot cards. I think we're going to run out of time, but because I know you approach them differently. But reading them, understanding them, and living with them and learning from them are all different.
Yes. For me, it's like this. At a couple of times in my early life, and I think this happens for a lot of people, I shut all that down. And one of the times that I remember doing it is between 7 and 10, and I was coming home from church one night, and I have no idea why I was coming home that late at night by myself at that age, but I was. And there was a long, dark street that went down into a depression and then back up again. And as I round the corner and went down that dark area, all of a sudden I thought a bear was behind me. And I just took off running. But it was years later before I realized there was no bears in Little Rock at that time. And plus, I wouldn't have made it if that was the case. But what I realized was that there was an energy behind me. And I interpreted it as a bear. And that was enough to shut it down, whatever that was, because it just scared me to whatever. So, and then later, and I think that was all part of the plan, because if you already know when you come here, you really can't learn anything. So it was like for a lot of us, we shut down purposefully so we can grow, have experiences, and then eventually wake up with a better understanding, because how can I help people if I haven't gone through it myself?
Seth is going to whisper sweet nothings in my ear in a minute. I know he is. So I need to thank you for being with us. What is there one last thing you'd like to share with us?
Well, I'll just say thank you very much. This has been a very nice experience. I just go back to how we started. Be connected. Connection to me is all there is.
Thank you so much, Thomas, for being with us tonight. I look forward to seeing you soon. We'll be together in August, I know.
Yes.
Can they find your schedule on your website as well, where you'll be?
Not yet. I've got to update that, too, because
okay.
I only do it for 6 months, anyway.
TheHolisticWarrior.com is where you can find this information, or you can call Thomas, area code 405-360-1700. Thank you so much, Thomas, for being with us tonight. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you in August. Take care. Folks out there, join me next week, and don't forget to share a smile with folks this week. Take care. Good night, Thomas.
Thank you.
Good
night, too.